Hey, welcome back. This is Jennifer. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and we are beginning a brand new book. We're going to be in it for just 1 week this week, 1 Peter. There's 5 chapters in 1 Peter, and our Bible studies during this Coffee Talk series have been set up with 5 lessons, 5 days for each one of the lessons that we've gone through. But because 1 Peter, we want to just cover the whole book. And we're not going to go in as deep as we did with James. We're going to take it in 6 days. So normally we do a 5-day study. This week is going to be a 6-day study, so buckle your seatbelts. We want to have time to read through the entire book in one sitting. So we can do that with the shorter books, 5 chapters are about. Of course, if we did Hezekiah, of course, if we did Psalms or another larger book like that, we wouldn't try to get it through in one day. But it's a great precedent to set to get through a book and read it in one sitting, just like you would a letter. If your favorite Aunt Fifi sent you a letter, you wouldn't read a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow and maybe a little bit the next day and then forget about it for a few days and pick up and maybe read a sentence in the morning to get you through. No. Aunt Fifi sends you a letter. What do you do with a letter from Aunt Fifi? You read it in one sitting. They send you a letter, and you open it, and you say, oh, it's wonderful to hear from her. Let's take it all the way through. And so whether she wrote you a 1-page letter or a 5-page letter, you would read the letter, right? Well, that's what we do with the books of the Bible, as far as we're able, and that's what we're going to do in this study. So welcome. Glad that you're here. If you're joining us on Facebook Live, YouTube, the Dwelling Richly podcast, wherever it is, I'm really glad you're here. Let your friends know that you're enjoying this Bible study and share, comment, say hi. Let me know that you're joining us. And let's get into God's Word. Let me get a couple glass of water while we go. And if you grab your Bible study, if you don't already have the 1 Peter Bible study printed in your hand, ready to go, don't worry. It's uploaded right to the La Mirada Christian Church website. Go to that website, La Mirada Christian Church. Go to the Women's Ministry Bible Study page. Okay. And then just scroll down a little bit and you'll see 1 Peter. It'll be week seven, I think it is. Anyway. Where is my study? Week 8, 1 Peter. Oh, look at that. I didn't update. Oh, well, whatever. You'll get the picture. It's 1 Peter. So when you go get it, just open it up on your computer. I actually use it on my computer while I'm doing the Bible study so I can keep my head up a little bit and see when we're talking and all that. So grab that and let's open that up and get started on that. We met last night, as we do every week on Mondays at 6:30 at church, for our Bible study time. And if you missed that, you can hear the talk. The talks are recorded and posted through our Dwelling Richly podcast. So I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that. I gave a talk last night on faith, a little bit about my story of faith and how God growing me in that area. And I'll be sharing again this morning. And happy to have you join us with that. But for now, let's go ahead and get into our study. Page 90 of our ongoing study through this summer, and this is again 1 Peter. So let me read the introduction, and then we'll get right into God's Word. This study is designed to offer daily time in the Word of God for the purpose of understanding better who God is, and in so doing, knowing ourselves and our purpose better. This is a simple, light study to give you an overview of Scripture and an exposure to thinking biblically and studying exegetically. We'll read, think, pray, write, consider, and apply the truths and concepts we find in the Word of God. Use any version of the Bible you're comfortable with. I recommend the English Standard Version ESV Bible. You can also use a smartphone app, but getting the Bible into your hands will elevate your experience. So I strongly advise you use a good old-fashioned Bible. Be willing to write and highlight and take notes in your Bible. Set aside time every day and grow in the discipline of actual study. Join the online Bible study community or study on your own. Amazing rewards await those who take the time to read and study God's Word. So there's lots of ways to join us. If you're here right here on Facebook, or if you're on the podcast or YouTube, wherever it is, we're glad that you are here. So this week's focus is living a life of faith begins at salvation, continues as we submit, and is perfected as we persevere through suffering for the sake of the gospel. And I'll provided you an overview here in your Bible study this week. day one, that's today, we're reading through 1 Peter, and then we'll take each chapter in the next 5 days after today. So tomorrow will be chapter one, and then on through chapter two. Chapter three is a little bit longer. There's a little more complicated passages on chapter three. So I did write some more thought questions, help you to dig through some of that material. I would encourage you to plan ahead for chapter three and be prepared for a longer study that day. Maybe consider completing it into two sittings. Maybe take one in the morning, one in the evening. I'll do it all in one sitting here, first thing in the morning, but it'll be a little bit longer than our normal time together is. All right, so day one, read and take notes through 1 Peter. Read 1 Peter, use the next pages to guide your reading. Write any notes, thoughts, questions, even drawings that help you engage and understand Scripture. Before you read, pray that God will open the eyes of your heart to clearly see the wonders of His Word. We read that in Psalm 119, verse 18. And that He would give you wisdom, like we've studied in the book of James from chapter 1, verse 5, to grasp and apply what you're reading. So our next section is called Active Reading Notes. And we'll read, I want you to read through these following eight prompts before we read through 1 Peter. Then while you read, consider the following and write your responses. So in other words, rather than reading through and then coming back and seeing what I was trying to help you to focus on, let's go ahead and read that first together. So we're going to be looking as we read, how would you describe the people who Peter wrote to? Include references for your answers. Are they unbelievers? Are they believers? You know, we want to think about his audience, just like a letter from Aunt Fifi to you. You know she's writing to you. You know about you. But if you picked up a letter from Aunt Fifi that she wrote back in 1948 to her old beau, you might not know about this guy very much, right? You'd want to catch clues through the writing about who he was, what he was like, okay? So same idea here with 1 Peter. Any letter that we read, actually. What are the issues that these people are facing? Do you relate to them in any way? I guarantee you. Well, okay, yes, I do. I guarantee you. As we read through 1 Peter, you're going to relate. You're going to see things in 1 Peter that you think, that sounds like what I'm going through. Number two, what are the major themes or big ideas in this book? And hint on that one, look for repeated words and ideas. You know, grab your highlighter, and I've got a multicolored highlighter. I use this one, and I also use this solid, just yellow highlighter. Highlight repeated words and phrases as you read. Once you start seeing a few, you'll go, oh, he's already said that. That's a theme. We might want to pay attention to things like that. Now that you have read the entire book, number three, what would you say are Peter's purposes in writing it? Right? So again, back to Aunt Fifi and her letter to you. I wonder if any of you do have an Aunt Fifi. Wouldn't that be funny? Anyway, what do you think what's Peter's goal here? What's his purpose in even writing this epistle that got circulated among the people at the time? And be as specific as you can, and I'll give you a hint there, chapter 5, verse 12. Now, let's see, number four. What specific ways does Peter call these people to live distinctly from their culture? In addition, how does Peter provide Christ as an example for such a lifestyle throughout the book? Number five, as you read, keep a list here as well as marking in your Bible of the many ways Peter addresses his readers. So example, in verse 1:1, he uses elect exiles, in 1:14, obedient children, and so on. We'll write a few more down as we go. Who is the author of the epistle? I bet you know that already. What was he a witness to? We'll find that out. And who wrote out this epistle? Excuse me, a little hiccups there. Who wrote out the epistle for Peter? And then I'll give you an opportunity for a bonus. on the bonus, I want you to make notes in the margin of your Bible of any Old Testament references that Peter makes in his epistle. There's at least 20. Doesn't this make you crave a better understanding of the old when you read them quoted in the new? It does for me. So I gave you a chart, a little extra there. If you can go through and write the New Testament verse that Peter uses and then the Old Testament reference that he quotes from. It's really fascinating. He uses a lot packed into this one short book. All right. So here we go. Are you ready? We're going to read through 1 Peter. If something pops into my head, if I note something, I'll pause and say it. If something comes to your mind, those of you on the Facebook Live right now, you can do the same. But let's begin with a word of prayer and just ask God to bless our time together in the Word. And we'll be off and running. I'm a little blurry today. I gotta fix my camera again. Anyway, that's why I was a little late, by the way, getting started. My camera kept going in and out of focus. Anyway, here we go. Let's pray and get started. Father God, you anointed Peter in a special way as you worked with him as one of your disciples. As I think back through all the times that you walked this earth with Peter, I'm thinking about him as we read through this book now. And I would ask that you would give us special insight into what you have us to learn here. May we feel the enveloping presence of the Holy Spirit come around us as we read and understand your word right now. We want to honor and glorify you in the reading of this word. So be present with us now. Give us wisdom as we read and understanding. Give us insight and just help us to grasp the content of what we're reading through here today. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do this. 1 Peter. Get my water going here. It's a 5-chapter book. I better water up. All right. Peter, an apostle of Christ, chapter 1. Remember, the Bible wasn't written with chapters or verses. Just like your letter from Aunt Fifi, no chapters, no verses, just a letter. But for the sake of us helping each other find things as we go through, chapters and verses. So I'll read those as we go too. Chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Christ, to those who are exiles in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, just a quick hint before we continue. As I'm reading, if you're taking your notes, that's great. That's fine. And if you find that you're able to do both, awesome, do both. But if it's better for you just to listen and read along, maybe just quietly highlight something as you go, do that. And if you find that you're able to do both, again, do that. But maybe go back and reread it on your own without taking any notes. Before I wrote the Bible study, I resist the temptation to write anything my first read through. And I just read through the letter, just like I would with Aunt Fifi. And then if she said something particularly interesting, I'll go back and reread that and maybe learn about her old boyfriend from 1948 or whatever. All right, just a tip for you as we do that. All right, here we go. Beginning back at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that they have now been announced to you, that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's needs, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways you inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Chapter 2. So, put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the wearing the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. Chapter 4. Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh, in the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded. For the sake of your prayers, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Chapter 5. So, I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. And that wraps up the reading of 1 Peter. Now take time to go back through your study and answer the questions that I provided for you to help you process the book, to focus in your outline, things that you've learned. Write your own notes. I've given you a guideline to help you get through and to think about some things. And what I've done is I've thought through the whole book and tried to pull through key concepts and themes, and then guided some of your questions that I've given you in this opening lesson, so that as we go through the book, you'll be well prepared for the rest of the questions and the engagements that are to come. All right, so tomorrow we'll be right back here. I'll be live on Facebook at 7 a.m., 7:02 or whatever, if I can't get my camera to work like today. And then, of course, I always put this video up on YouTube. So if you missed any of it and you want to be able to pause and watch it at your own pace, you can always go over to the YouTube at Jennifer Richmond. Just find my name on YouTube and it'll show up there. And then, of course, you can listen to the podcast as well. Wow, right? It took about 20 minutes to read through an entire book of the Bible. Are you excited? Are you proud of yourself? You should be. You know, most people don't ever do that. They don't actually in one sitting read cover to cover through an entire book of the Bible. So if you've been here and you've done that, good for you. And God will bless you for that. God's word is clear on that. He blesses those who take seriously his word. and read it. And even reading it out loud is, for me, it was even, I should do that more often. I like that because it helped me to hear it and process it even better. So I'm excited all over again to get back into this word. And I look forward to being with you this morning at Bible study, 9:30, right at our church. And we'll have a great time together. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for chapter 1. We're going to dig into chapter 1 and answer some questions and go through that together. So God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. And make sure you share this podcast, share the Facebook Live with YouTube, whatever you're watching it on. And let people know that you're enjoying it and you're learning God's Word. And just get God's Word out there. Let's invite people to join us. And why not join us in person as well? Hopefully I'll see you at church in a little bit. All right. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Know that you are loved and prayed for. When I see you check in, make a comment, I see your name there and I'm able to pray for you. And of course, if you ever have any specific prayer requests, you're welcome to email me at jennifer@lamoradachurch.com and I'll get back to you and be happy to pray for you. All right. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye for now.